Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to, are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality. Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast, 666? And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood. We're going to face the issues. It's my delight to be with you each afternoon at 5 o'clock as we face the issues together. Keep in mind, this program is dedicated to seeking the truth. When we face issues, we need to find the answer to those issues in what the Word of God says. Jesus himself said, "Thy word is truth," speaking of the Word of God. The Lord Jesus promised that if we continue in his word, then we shall be his disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:31-32. Therefore, I am delighted that we can go to the real source, the Word of God, as solutions and answers to all of our problems. And may I remind us, the every day it seems like the difficulties and the darkness looms heavier and heavier. That's not said in a negative fashion. We can simply look at the news, listen to the news, look around us on a global basis and see what's happening, and recognize that on a global realm, we have literally turned our backs on God. We've said no to Jesus Christ. We have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore there's calamity and collision that is on course around the globe and in here in America. We can have a discussion, your choice today of what you want to ask a question on and talk about. In just a moment, I'm going to touch on a couple of things, and then we're going to make a beeline dive into, which is something that's a very broad subject, but I'm going to give a little thumbnail sketch on the coming Antichrist today. I promised you that yesterday. If you want to call and participate by way of asking questions, lending your comments, or seeking directions from the Word of God, you can reach us at 904-401-1413. That's 904-401-1413. Let me just touch on a couple of things in a pre-introductory fashion that I believe we need to keep on the top burner here in Duval County. Our legislators and city council, as you know, have introduced a bill that would bring the slot machine gambling casino atmosphere into our city. And I say to you, we need to be very, very concerned about that, because as moral, ethical citizens, as Christians, we need to understand the difficulty and the darkness and the devastation that will be brought into our community as a result of that. Aaron Bowman, I believe, is the councilman that introduced that. I believe it's motivated, promulgated out of the mayor's office and others that are the power brokers in our city that have, if you will, money to gain, finances to gain if we pass that legislation. You need to talk with every city councilman, need to call them, email them, visit their offices as they have the committee and subcommittee hearings on this subject before the bill comes up for a final vote in city council. You need to visit in each of those committee and subcommittee meetings. Let your objection be heard. Let your calls be heard. Let them know you can override the will of the citizens. You can disregard the moral, ethical people in our city, but we're going to remember you at the ballot box. One of the best ways to get a politician's attention is to let them know that they're not God, they're not in total control, that we the people still have control at the ballot box. I published a book, wrote a book, and published it a number of years ago. It's available on any online bookstore or through Amazon, or you can call 1-800-GO-BIBLE and order it from our campus bookstore through the university here. but the book was entitled, Is It Time for Revolution? And the subtitle of it is that we're going to have a revolution. It can be on the battlefield or at the ballot box. It's my prayer that the revolution can take place at the ballot box. And I'm talking about a revolution of removing the immoral, ungodly, unholy, unethical mindset that permeates our society today and allow moral ethics and good judgment dominate rather than destroying our nation. The other thing that we need to be concerned about is that which Dr. Vitti has embraced for our schools, for all public schools in Duval County. You may or may not be aware of it. If you're a first-time listener, you perhaps have not heard it by way of radio before. You can call and we can talk about it at 401-1413, 904-401-1413. That's the open bathroom edict coming right out of the White House, right out of Obama's cell phone and pen, if you will. He's already said that when he was running for office that he would absolutely change America, the fundamental change of America. And he's in the final stages of the last several months and the next several months that he's going to be fundamentally changing America. He gave an edict, and it's an empirical government that we're seeing. He gave an edict that we all must abide by according to his directions, and that is the open bathroom. And by the way, he appealed to the Bible when he said that he appealed to the do unto others as you'd have them to do unto you, the golden rule, as he called it. And he said that was his premise for giving the edict for the open bathroom bill. But more close at home, as we look at what is taking place, is Dr. Vitti has said without any argument, without any allowing the people to decide, he simply said to the school board that we're going to embrace the open bathroom bill or the open bathroom edict. That open bathroom edict says that for all little girls' locker rooms, bathrooms, shower rooms, all of the ladies' dressing rooms and shower rooms will be open to any pervert, pedophile, transsexual, homosexual, or lesbian that might want to enter in. In fact, the good image, if you will, is to see your daughter, your son, your granddaughter, your grandson that's precious in the sight of God, that we honor God in the rearing, to see them in a compromising position and some pervert peeking over the stall or sliding a cell camera telephone under the stall and photographing them. And that's happened over 26 times just in the Target stores after they opened Pandora's box to allow that. So I say to you, call the school board, put pressure on the school board, say you either reverse your policy or we insist that Dr. Vitti be removed. And I challenge Dr. Vitti, by the way. Let me introduce this thought. I will openly challenge Dr. Vitti to an open debate on the merits of such ungodly, unholy, immoral policy for Duval County schools. It is simply unconscionable, and we need to say so publicly and loudly to get the attention of the school board. By the way, several school board members up for re-election, and new slots are available for those that are termed out. May I suggest that we let them know we will replace you as our school board representative if you cannot reverse the policy of this ungodly, unholy policy of an open bathroom. Now let's change gears a moment. On July the 3rd, that's on a Sunday, July the 3rd, we're going to celebrate Independence Day at First Conservative Baptist Church. We're located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295, about 3 blocks south of Greenland Road. On that day, July the 3rd, services will start 45 minutes early. We'll start at 10 o'clock, and the service will go till about 12:30. On that day, we're going to have gospel music. The Groves Family Singers will be with us in concert. Wonderful gospel music. It's not the rock and roll now. It's wonderful, God-honoring gospel music. So let me encourage you with that. They will also be singing some patriotic songs and hymns that we all know, grew up with, and praise the Lord for. A friend of mine, and one that perhaps you've heard and know of, he's down in Orlando, is going to be reenacting the Patrick Henry speech. Patrick Henry speech, most know, just give me liberty or give me death, but are not familiar with the total of about a 22-minute speech that Patrick Henry made. He'll give the setting, the context. He'll come dressed as Patrick Henry. And then I'll have the privilege of preaching a biblical message that will challenge us for July the 4th celebration of Independence Day. The other thing, briefly, I want to call your attention to is that through the college, through Conservative Theological University, July the 22nd, that's a Friday, 6:30 to 9:30, and on the 23rd at 9 o'clock until 5 o'clock, there'll be a full 10-hour seminar on that afternoon and that day, Protecting God's Church. We're going to deal with security for our churches. Most churches are vulnerable with an open-door policy that someone can come in and harm, hurt, damage, or destroy your church or the membership or the pastor. Every senior pastor, security team, ushers, deacons, associate pastors, staff members, church greeters, Sunday school teachers, parking team, et cetera, need to be involved. Let me encourage you to call 1-800-GO-BIBLE and ask questions about that. Get your enrollment packet, 1-800-GO-BIBLE. That's Conservative Theological University. This is a seminar that should be attended by every church's security team. If you don't have a security team, appoint two or three or four men to serve in that capacity. Send them for this wonderful time to learn and to understand what's happening on a national basis. Now, I promised you yesterday that we're going to deal with a subject today that some are not familiar with. Many have heard about, many have talked about, but most are not cognizant of what the Bible says in relationship to it. Now, you can call us at 904-401-1413. We're going to be dealing primarily with Revelation chapter 13, and we're going to be talking about the coming Antichrist. May I just simply say a few words by way of brief introduction? The world is facing a global upheaval today. Wars and rumors of wars in most nations. Islam is on the move for global conquest. Russia is on the move to dominate Europe. In fulfillment, by the way, of Ezekiel 38 and 39, the coming war with Russia. We'll deal with that on the air in the next few days. Iran is on the verge of having a nuclear weapon with delivery capabilities. Much of Africa today is controlled by Islamic terrorists. Israel is in a life or death struggle with the Islamic terrorists. China is on the move for more and more global control, and Washington sits silent when all of this is taking place. What can we expect next? Just what is going to take place? What is happening? When it comes to morality and ethics and spirituality and worship, we find it at an all-time national low. I believe God, listen carefully, I believe God is preparing to remove His church, the Bride of Christ. We talked about it on a previous broadcast, the rapture of the church. I believe God's preparing His people, the Bride of Christ, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that the Scripture refers to as being spotless and without blemish. The Bride of Christ is going to be suddenly seized, snatched out of this old world. There's no signs, by the way, to be fulfilled before the rapture of the church. Immediately following the rapture of the church, however, there will be one that the Bible calls the man of sin, the lawless one, the one that the Bible refers to as the coming Antichrist, will step on the scene. The coming Antichrist will come forth having supernatural demonic authority and power. I want us to think about the coming Antichrist. He is Satan's Superman, if you will. If we were to look at this total study, it's about a two-hour study. By the way, we have this on DVD and CD. You can receive by your donation, your contribution of any amount, $5 or more, to Conservative Theological University, our First Conservative Baptist Church. You can call 1-800-GO-BIBLE and make that contribution by telephone. We'll be delighted to send you the DVD or the CD, either one that you'd like to have. We're going to talk about, though, today just two portions of this broader study, the prophecy of the Antichrist recorded, and secondly, the person of the Antichrist reviewed. When we look at the prophecy of the Antichrist recorded, his coming is predicted. In fact, in 1 John 2:18 and verse 22, and in 2 John, verse 7, little children, it's the last time, and as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. May I remind us, the spirit of Antichrist is in the world today. It is possessed by many and will culminate in that one person, that single individual that's the Antichrist that will step on the scene. By the way, let me cut through the chase and simply say that I believe the man of sin, the one that is called the Antichrist, the one that the Bible refers to as the coming lawless one, I believe he's in the world today. I believe that he is being demonically prepared. I don't know that he would know himself that he is the Antichrist. Surely not. That's the one that will be revealed at the after the rapture of the church. But it's his coming is predicted. May I remind us, the predictions are found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 9, verses chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. And ever since Genesis 3:15, we've seen the battle between good and evil. We've seen the battle intensifying in the world even today. But the culmination of everything that is good on earth was found in Jesus Christ at his first coming. So also the culmination of everything that's wicked, evil, unholy, and ungodly will be found in the coming unholy one, the Antichrist. He will come and rule and reign and will absolutely dominate this whole earth. We have not really witnessed today the unharnessed, wickedness that is absolutely unleashed and shall be unleashed in its fullest when the Antichrist comes as we see him step on the scene. May I remind us that in Revelation chapter 6 through chapter 18 is the fullness of the days of the tribulation. And the Antichrist will rule and reign from a throne out of Rome, as will also the apostate church. And the Antichrist will rule and reign, and he will have many that will follow him. May I remind us, there's a literal person known as the Antichrist. He will only be the absolute epitome of the system of atheism. Some contend that it just speaks of the ecclesiastical apostate system in the final form. But the Bible calls him the man of sin, the lawless one, the Antichrist. His coming is predicted. We could look at several verses if time would allow. But not only his coming predicted, but his commencement pictured. Revelation chapter 13, verse 1 and 2. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the names of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. May I remind us, this one that's coming is pictured here in Revelation chapter 13, verse 1 and 2. May I remind us, the beast, the Antichrist, will rise up out of the sea of humanity. The sea here is a term that is used to represent the masses of humanity, and will literally rise up, come to power, if you will. We see his control presented in Revelation 1 and 2. Notice the scripture there talks about he has seven heads. That is talking about complete wickedness and complete wisdom. By the way, it's not godly wisdom. It is demonic wisdom. He'll have complete power and strength. That is indicated in the ten horns, which represents the ten nations that ultimately will be the filtered down number out of the revived Roman Empire, being headed up by the man of sin, the Antichrist, according to Daniel chapter 7, verse 23, 24, and 25. He'll have complete authority. The scripture says upon his horns are ten crowns. That's the diadems, the royal crowns, the symbols of authority. He will have complete opposition. The scripture says the name of blasphemy. That word means slander, opposition to everything that is spiritual, everything that is holy, everything that's godly. We see that the Antichrist, although he is a man, has a kingdom. The word there in the Greek text is basileon. Basileon means a rule and a reign. He will rule and reign, and he will control the whole world. The Lord Jesus Christ has his kingdom of the redeemed. The Antichrist will have his kingdom of the wickedness of the world that the world has never seen before. The Antichrist is that little horn that will rise up out of Daniel chapter 7, verses 8 through 14. He is the future global leader of this whole world. And I just have a little marginal note in my outline that I simply say, hey, if you're not saved, get saved while you still have the liberty and the time, the opportunity, the freedom to do so. The rapture of the church could take place at any moment, and it will be too late. There's a video series that's out, that's been out for a number of years, called Left Behind. Some of you perhaps have seen that. It's a wonderful story. It's a heart ringer, but it's simply theologically untrue. The idea is in the Left Behind series that son and daughter sitting there watching the through the television a DVD or a tape that mom and dad's left, and they've been snatched out through the rapture, and they watched it, and mom and dad is saying, this is what you need to do. You need to say yes to Jesus. They weep and wail, and the folks are coming with the chains and with the handcuffs to drag them to take the mark of the 666. It looks good and it sounds good, but listen very carefully. If you have volitionally chosen to say no to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, and the rapture of the church takes place, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, 10, and 11, if you've chosen to believe the devil's lie, it will be too late, an impossibility after the rapture for any human being to get saved that has heard the gospel. Yes, during the tribulation, it will be the time of the greatest revival the world has ever seen, according to Revelation chapter 7, Revelation chapter 14. But that revival that will take place is among those that have never heard the gospel, where the gospel is preached, the everlasting gospel from sky to sky and shore to shore, that everyone will have an opportunity. And primarily, the gospel will be proclaimed that the Jewish people that today have scales on their eyes, the scales will be dropped. Multitudes, mega millions of the Jews shall be saved in the days of the tribulation. That's the prophecy of the Antichrist recorded. But I want us to quickly look at just a few moments that we have left, the person of the Antichrist reviewed. Just who is this person that's against Christ? The word anti means against, and we're talking about the Antichrist. The Antichrist is the one, the lawless one, the man of sin, the Antichrist that will be against everything that Jesus Christ is for, he will be against. Some of his characteristics are portrayed in Revelation chapter 13, verse 2. The scripture there says, he is like, and the word like, it's like as. It is talking about a simile there. It doesn't mean he is a leopard, but like a leopard. Therefore, we understand he is crafty and cunning. In fact, in Daniel chapter 8, verse 23, the scripture says, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark saying shall stand up. We're talking about that satanic, demonic superman, the supernatural being called the Antichrist and his abilities. Not only he's crafty and cunning, he's also crushing. The scripture says his feet as the feet of a bear. That is powerful. Power to crush nations, power to crush people, power to control the world. He is not only found as one that is cunning and crafty and crushing, but he is also cruel. The scripture speaks of him having a mouth as a mouth of a lion. That is savagery and destructive. He will destroy many. In fact, in Daniel 8, chapter 8, verse 23 through 25, it talks about what he will do in making craft to prosper, and he will be able to destroy many as a result of that. Today, we're shocked by ISIS and the march to control by the beheadings and the crucifixions and the burnings of human beings. We're seeing just a glimpse of what the Antichrist will do and how he will have that authority and control. Listen, it's not just man's power. He is the Superman of Satan, demonically controlled and empowered, according to the scripture, by Satan. He's also callous. That means he's unfeeling, destructive as a bear, a leopard, and a lion. God gives us a pictorial warning here of the characteristics of the wicked one, the coming Antichrist. He will destroy anything and everything that gets in his way for global domination and global control. Remember, Hitler was elevated in Germany, but because of being a cruel dictator. Think of the man like Hitler controlling the world, but demonically controlled completely. Not only his characteristics portrayed, but his credentials are also presented in Revelation chapter 13 and in verse 2. Where does he get this authority? Where does he get this power? What are his credentials? He is simply a puppet of Satan. In fact, the power is from Satan, the scripture tells us, and the dragon gave him his power. The dragon is talking about Lucifer. The dragon is talking about Satan. The dragon is talking about that one that is seeking to destroy even today. May I remind us, not only his power is from Satan, his position is from Satan. The scripture in Revelation 13:2 says, and his seat, in the Greek text, that is the word thronos, indicating his throne or his position of power, the place that he rules out of. His position is given to him by Satan himself. His prominence is also from Satan, the scripture says, and great authority. That is recognition, prominence, preeminence, and power. His controlling leadership will be on a global basis. He will have the power and the position and the prominence and the preeminence all from Satan himself. The power of the Antichrist is ultimately controlled by God, but absolutely in the hands of Satan. God is allowing and shall allow Satan to do only what God will allow him to do, nothing more and nothing less. Picture this for a moment. Satan is the prince of the power of this world, according to the scripture. But he can do only as much damage as God allows him to do. I've used the illustration for many, many years. Satan is as a dog on a leash. He can go only as far as God allows him to. And whatever God's authority allows him to do, he will do so. And God's going to use the Antichrist, the man of sin, the one that steps on the scene to globally control this whole world, to get the world's attention that those on the earth after the rapture of the church will say yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. What is the personality of the Antichrist like? His character is pictured in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, 4, and 9. The scripture says in that fourth verse of 2 Thessalonians 2, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, notice that is worship, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Satan has always wanted to be worshiped. This is the reason Satan, as Lucifer in heaven, was kicked out of the heavenlies, because he said, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will, five times, trying to exert his will above the will of God. Therefore, ultimately, Satan, through the Antichrist, wants to be worshipped. And that's where Satan is headed, through his puppet, the Antichrist. He wants to bring about global recognition and worship of the Antichrist. The latter portion, by the way, of Revelation chapter 13 talks about the Antichrist having a false prophet, that is, a religious leader that will lead out and convince the world that this man is good. How does that take place? Because the Antichrist, according to verse 3 of chapter 13, is slain with a mortal wound, that is, he's killed, and the false prophet will have the power from Satan to raise him from the dead. The whole world will then follow after him, wanting to be recognized in the entourage under the leadership of that demonic person called the Antichrist. This is the reason you find in the latter portion of chapter 13 of Revelation text that there will be the 666. There's some that picture that as mankind, humanity being dragged by force to put the mark on the hand or in the head. That is simply not the case. Multitudes on the globe will want to identify with this charismatic leader, this leader that absolutely controls the globe. They will want to identify with him and will gladly receive the mark in the hand or on their head. Those that refuse to do so will be left as vagabonds on the street to starve without food, clothing, or shelter. No work available to them. It's a wonderful study. It's not bad, it's good, because the next thing on the calendar of God is the rapture of the church, where we'll be suddenly seized, snatched out of here. We need to be careful that we share the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is hope today, and that hope is through Jesus Christ. Thank you for tuning in today. We look forward to our studies and our talk tomorrow. We're going to talk about the slot machines and open bathrooms tomorrow. Thank you, and God bless you as we leave the air, but we'll meet you again tomorrow on the air.
Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to, are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality. Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast? 666. And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.